All right. Good evening, everyone. Let us begin. Let us begin. So first of all, I want to begin by thanking the sponsors for tonight's share, to thank our series sponsors, the Engelsberg, Dinovitzer, and Steinberg families, for dedicating this series. Le'ilui Nishmas Harav Yitzchak David Ben Meir Aryeh Zichrono Livracha. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nesham will have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. We also thank our share sponsors for this evening, Pini and Chani Lerner, in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Chani's father, Chaim Shlomo Ben David Schneer, and Shani Topper and family, in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Shani's father, Josh Gutman, Yoshua Ben Yitzchak, Zichrono Livracha. We hope that under the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the families a Nechama. And with that, let us begin. First of all, just an important note. You'll notice on the source sheets tonight that on the top left-hand column, there is a QR code. Here at Suburban Orthodox Congregation, we are on the cutting edge of technology. So this QR code, you could scan it with your phone. If you don't know what to do with it, just ask someone under the age of 12, and they will tell you. We're trying to create a WhatsApp group. This way, again, in the event of cancellations, or you know, we'll be able to put out, obviously all the scheduling information will go out on the shul email as well. But if you want to be in the forefront of knowledge regarding the shir, again, scan it, join the WhatsApp group. A special thank you to Shani for organizing. So with that, let us begin. So tonight we are going to begin a new kapitel. I promised last week we were not going to do kapitel vav. We are not going to do kapitel vav. Although it happens to be the kapitel we're doing tonight is very much connected to kapitel vav. We are going to start tonight kapitel lamed. And you'll see why I'm skipping to this in just a moment. This is the kapitel of Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. The capital, the reason why we're going to focus on this capital, and it's going to be our focus for the next 2 weeks, is because, again, the Gemara brings down that it is the custom to say this capital every morning after davening on Hanukkah. Now, the truth is, we know we say this capital, we say this chapter of Tehillim every morning as a general introduction to Psukei Dezimra, before Baruch Sha'amar. But again, and especially on Hanukkah, there is a custom to go ahead and recite this at the end of davening each and every day. So what I would like to do with this kapitel is as follows. In Emirat Hashem tonight, I'd like to focus a little bit on the general concept of kapitel lamed, and then in Emirat Hashem, next week, we'll have a pre-Hanukkah shir, because there won't be class for the next 2 weeks after that, for the week of Hanukkah and the week after Hanukkah. So next week, in Emirat Hashem, we will focus on this kapitel and use it as a springboard for a pre-Hanukkah shir. So tonight, maybe I'll tie in Hanukkah a little bit at the end to get us started, but let's take a look. So we're not going to go through the whole kapitel, but if you take a look at number one, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Habayis LeDavid, a psalm, a song of dedication for the house of David. Aromimcha Hashem ki delisani velo simachta oivayli. I will exalt you, Hashem, for you have raised me up, and you have not allowed my enemies to rejoice over me. Hashem Elokai, Hashem my God, shivati elecha batir pa'ini. I have cried out to you, and you have healed me. So you notice again, by the way, in Kapitel Vav, we spent, I think, a total of 4 weeks, right? It took David HaMelech less time to write the Kapitel than it did for us to get through it. But remember, again, we spoke about the element of sickness. Interestingly enough, in Kapitel Lamed, this same theme of sickness and healing once again comes up. And again, hopefully you're familiar with this particular Kapitel. The theme is the theme of much of Sefer Tehillim, which is David HaMelech highlighting the fact that he's suffering with adversity, suffering with difficulty, suffering with illness, suffering with enemies, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes through each and every time. But what I want to draw your attention to is something very strange about this kapitel. The title, or the opening phrase, is Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid, right? Which sounds a song of dedication, a song of dedication for the house of David. What's the house of David? What are we talking about over here? So your reflexive reaction, what's the house of David? What would you say? The Beis HaMikdash. The problem with that is David HaMelech didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. So number, but let's assume for a moment, let's assume that somehow the bias being alluded to over here is the Beis HaMikdash. The problem then is, what do you do with the rest of the kapitel? Because the rest of the chapter, again, speaks about illness, adversity, tragedy, crying, sadness, redemption. So what does this have to do with the bias? And specifically, which bias are we referring to? So I want to share with you just a couple of insights, and you'll scan the rest of the kapitel on your own. Next week, we'll go a little bit more into the substance of the kapitel. But tonight, I really want to focus on why is it called Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, a song of dedication for the home, if the kapitel ostensibly has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash itself. Of course, the underlying question that we'll get to, we'll start on this week and get to next week, is what's the association of this particular chapter of Tehillim with Chanukah? But take a look at number two. So the Malbim says something absolutely beautiful. The Malbim says in number two, HaMizmar Kulo Yusad Loseis Hoda'a Bechaloso V'yichi Mechalyo. So the Malbim understands again that once again this capital was written by David HaMelech after he was healed from illness. We'll discuss more about the illness in just a moment. But here's the problem, says the Malbim. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid, a song of dedication when David HaMelech dedicated the bayis. What bayis, says the Malbim? What home are we talking about? And he says something so beautiful. Umuvor Shabayis Hamuskarpo Hu Habayis Hamashali. The bayis referred to, the home referred to in this kapitel, says the Malbim, is a metaphorical home. What does this mean? Hu haguf. The bayis being referred to over here in this kapitel, in this chapter of Tehillim, is not a home. It's not a physical home. Well, it is a physical home, but it's not a structure. The bayis here refers to the temple of the self, the home of the self, the guf, the body. Hu haguf shehu ma'on lenefesh, ubayis la'adam ha'penimi ha'shochein ha'vedar bekirbo, ki ha'nefesh hu ha'adam be'emes. So this is quite beautiful. The Malbim says like this, you know, it's an interesting question of self-definition. How do we look at ourselves? Do we look at ourselves as a neshama, as a soul, which is housed by a body? Or do we look at ourselves as a body which houses a soul? And that's not a question of semantics. That gets to the very essence of our self-definition. What am I at my core? Am I a spiritual being who has a physical framework in order to be able to interact with the world? Or am I a physical being who happens to have an element of spirituality? So the Malbim says it's the second. We are spiritual beings. The essence of me is my neshama. That's the essence. Also, if the neshama is the essence, why give me a guf? One simple reason. The neshama has no way to interact with the outside world. The neshama has no way to impact the outside world except with the guf. The neshama needs a body. There is a synergistic partnership between neshama and guf. You see, we often think that the neshama and the guf are constantly at each other's throats, right? They're constantly butting heads. Now, a lot of times they are, but really the way it's supposed to be is a harmonious, synergistic partnership. The neshama is beautiful, but the neshama has no way by itself of impacting the world. The body is the vehicle for the neshama to impact or to affect change, to create beautiful things in this world. So therefore, says Allah, something so beautiful. The body is called a home. What's the essence of a home? What's the essence of a home? The essence of the home ultimately is to serve the inhabitants, right? When you live in a home, the ikar is not the home, right? The ikar are the people who live in the home. The home is there to create a synergistic partnership between the structure, between the world, and between the inhabitants. Says the Malbim so beautifully, the body is the home for the neshama. The body is the home for the neshama. I just want to point out, the reason why this is so incredibly important is because this is why in Judaism, we are not an ascetic religion. Right? This is incredibly important. There are other religions that preach the idea that in order to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to come close to God, you have to deny physicality. Whether it's deny physical pleasure, deny physical enjoyment. If you'll notice again, Yiddishkeit does not subscribe to that idea. Because again, that notion of depriving the physicality is really rooted in the idea that spirituality is good, physicality is bad. Yiddishkeit does not believe in that. Yiddishkeit, again, believes in this synergistic partnership between body and soul. Is the body good? The body can be good if I do the right things with it. Of course, like anything else in life, if you misuse and abuse it, it can become a terrible thing. But if it's used in a sanctified, meaningful way, then it becomes a synergistic partnership with the soul. So therefore, says the Malbim, what's happening over here? V'aguf achumri hu rak beis chomer l'shifta kaneos b'mitsuda. Ve'is chala az rafafa amudi abayis b'chomer. So the Malbim says something so beautiful. Mizmor shir chanukas habayis l'david. David sings a song when literally, again, he dedicates his home. What's the dedication of the home, says the Malbim? When David HaMelech was healed from his illness. The Chanukas HaBayis, the dedication of the home, is not referring to a physical structure. It's referring to David HaMelech's body. I was sick. We already mentioned this in Kapitel Vav, and we'll delve more into this now. David HaMelech was sick. Was seriously sick, was deathly ill. And then when he is healed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis, the home, the body, has been rededicated. So therefore again, says the Malbim, this has nothing to do with physical structures. This has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. This has nothing to do with the palace of David HaMelech. This has nothing to do with any type of physical domicile structure. This kapitel is a response to David HaMelech being healed. A rededication of the body is a rededication of the personalistic home. Now, if you take a look at number three, so the Ibn Ezra understands this a little bit differently. The Ibn Ezra writes in three, actually skip the three bays. He says as follows. He says, Vakarov Eli, ki zeha mizmar chibru b'chanukas beiso beis arozim, ki akosov lo hizkir beis Hashem. So the Ibn Ezra says, no. David HaMelech said this actually when he built himself a palace. You know, David HaMelech first develops his intense longing to build the Beis HaMikdash when he builds his own palace in Yerushalayim. Remember again, David HaMelech was the first king, the first leader to conquer Yerushalayim. Up until David HaMelech, even during times of Yoshua, they never conquered Yerushalayim. It remained a Yevusi stronghold. David HaMelech conquers Yerushalayim. Remember again, where does David's monarchy start? It starts in Hebron. And then only afterwards does it move to Yerushalayim. When it comes to Yerushalayim, he builds for himself a beautiful cedar palace. And David HaMelech is sitting in his palace, and he is struck with an incredible wave of guilt. Because here, he's living in this beautiful palace, and there's no Beis HaMikdash. Remember, there's not really even a Mishkan. There's a tent which houses the ark, which houses the Aron. So says the Ibn Ezra, that Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid, he says, is when David built his own palace. And when he builds his own palace, he's struck with guilt. How could it be that I'm living somewhere so beautiful, and yet the Ribono Shel Olam does not have a physical domicile on this world? He goes on, Va'osazman, Chala David, Vayichi Mechayo. Now, interesting, what the Ibn Ezra says, right after he says this, he also brings in the Malbim's idea. And David HaMelech was also recovering from illness during this same time. V'am Rabbi Moshe, ki David his Abel, kasher amar lo nosan, ki hu lo yivne habayis, l'shem. V'kasher amar lo ki shlomo bino yivne habayis, as his azer simcha tachas evlo. We'll get to that in just a moment. So the Ibn Ezra, so again, just interesting, just different interpretations as what the kapitel is talking about. The Malbim telling us that the dedication of the home represents, the home is David's body, he's healed from sickness. Ibn Ezra, no, it's a song of dedication when he dedicated his own palace. And then he's struck by this feeling of guilt, I'm living in this beautiful palatial estate, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is living in a tent. Look at the Radak in number four. The Radak says, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. Chibro David, Sheomru B'Chanukah Beis HaMikdash. So the Radak understands, I think the way most of us understand this kapitel, that Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis, the bayis being referred to, is not David's body, like the Malbim. It's not David's home, like the Ibn Ezra. It's the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. Correct. But as we've already pointed out, David HaMelech composed the music to be sung by the Levitic choir inside of the Beis HaMikdash. And so David HaMelech wrote this kapitel, and he left instructions to Shlomo. And what were the instructions? When you, Shlomo, build the Beis HaMikdash, as was promised, as we'll discuss the story, when you, Shlomo, build the Beis HaMikdash, I want you to sing this song at the inauguration of the Mikdash. This is the song to sing at the inauguration. So, here's the problem. See, according to the Malbim, the kapitel is beautiful. Well, according to everyone, the kapitel is beautiful. But according to the Malbim, the kapitel makes sense because the bayis over here is a reference to David's body. What is the kapitel all about? Sickness, healing, difficulty. It makes perfect sense. According to the Radak, if this is about the Beis HaMikdash, so why is this about sickness, illness, sin, tshuva, healing, salvation? What does that have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? So look what he writes. Shayu choshvim oivav, shelo tiskayim lo hamalucha, o lezaro acharav lo onesh osavon. Sehed Radak says, David HaMelech, his adversaries felt that when David was appointed, part of his appointment, right? David was a reluctant king. He never wanted to be king, right? What did David HaMelech want to do with his life? Right? If he asked David, what do you want to do when you grow up? He would have said, I want to be a shepherd. I want to be a shepherd. And why did David HaMelech want to be a shepherd more than anything? The best part of shepherding, or at least so I've heard, best part of shepherding is solitude. Solitude. No one could hurt you. And David HaMelech was hurt a lot throughout his life, including in his childhood, by his own mishpacha. David HaMelech wanted the solitude. He was happy to be alone with the sheep. And by the way, lest you think that sheep listen, right? Sheep don't always listen. But sheep never say anything hurtful, right? And sheep will never disappoint you, right? And sheep will never leave you high and dry. You know they're not going to listen. They're animals. But the hurt that David HaMelech experienced at the hands of people close to him, he didn't want it. It's okay. I'm happy just to be a shepherd out in the field, plenty of time to think, plenty of time to daven away from the treacherous behaviors of man. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a different plan for David HaMelech, and part of the greatness of David was the ability to accept the plan that God had for him, even though it was different than the plan he had for himself. He accepts it. And David HaMelech spends the majority of his monarchy trying to escape the shadow cast upon him by the episode with Bathsheba. David HaMelech's detractors said, there is no way you are going to be the founder of a dynastic monarchy. Impossible. You're a sinner. You're an adulterer. You're supposed to, you have to understand, the king in our model, you know, Judaism doesn't believe in democracy. Right, we don't really subscribe to the concept of democracy. Our system of government is a theocracy, right? So it's a king who governs by the rule of religion. Again, there are checks and balances. Religious leadership comes from Levi. Political leadership comes from Yehuda. There's a Sanhedrin. But the king is there to be the military leader, but he's also there to be the spiritual role model. That's his job. He is supposed to be at least one of the Gidolei Hadar. So after the episode with Bathsheba, David's detractor said, you're done. You're done. You cannot climb out of that hole. That's it. You're done. The monarchy is over. Maybe you'll live out your years as king, but there's no way that your children are going to be king. And all the more so, not children who came from who? From whom? From you and Bathsheba. No way. No, look at what Radak says. He says his oivim, his enemies. And again, the heartbreaking part of this is we're not talking about external enemies. We're not talking about, you know, the surrounding hostile nations. We're talking about his fellow Jews, who were his greatest antagonists, said to David, there's no way you are going to be able to sustain a dynastic monarchy. V'afapi, sh'nemar lo ayde novi ki b'no shim lo chacharof hu yivne bayis. Lo hayu ma'aminim shiuchalios ben ki shiuchalios ki ben shiula lo me'osa isha yemelech. And even though, again, we're going to get into this, Nasan Hanavi told David, Shlomo is going to be king. Shlait Shlomo is the product of David and Bathsheba, and Shlomo is going to build the Beis Hamikdash. And remember, David and Bathsheba named their son Shlomo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a different name. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu name Shlomo? Yedidya. Yedidya, the beloved one of Hashem. The Rebbe Baruch Hashem blessed the union. People still didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. There's no way that at the end of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to let Shlomo, the product of David and Bathsheba, no way that he's going to be allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. So go ahead and skip to paragraph Beis. And so, therefore, remember, if we fast forward to the end of David HaMelech's life, I think we've made reference to this before. David HaMelech is on his deathbed. And remember, literally on his deathbed. And what's happening as he's dying, the man is actively dying, last two moments of life, they tell him that your son, Adonio ben Chagis, misnasei leimor ani emloch. Adonio ben Chagis is proclaiming, because remember, interestingly enough, David never explicitly said that Shlomo is going to be king. He never, for a number of reasons, he never explicitly said it. So now he's dying. People assume there's no way Shlomo is going to be king. It can't be that the product of David and Bathsheba could be the one who's going to go ahead and continue the dynastic monarchy and build a base. It's impossible. So David's dying, and some of David's greatest supporters rally behind another one of David's sons, Adonio ben Chagis. He's going to be the king. So what happens? Number four, paragraph base. So remember again, then in an interesting turn of events, David HaMelech from his deathbed proclaims that Shlomo is going to be my heir. At that point, once David says it, the supporters of Adonio ben Chagis pretty much leave because no one's interested in civil war, at least not now, right? They go ahead and they leave and Shlomo becomes king. Now, watch this. Not only does Shlomo become king, but Shlomo builds the Beis HaMikdash. At that point, V'chivan sherotza akel, ki ben shenolad lo me'osa ishiye melech al kol Yisrael, yodu be'emes ki nimchal l'david oso avon mechila. See, here's what's interesting about this. So, let's pause here for just a moment. So, according to the Radak, what's unfolding over here is something dramatically different. What's unfolding over here is Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis LeDavid, the Bayis being referenced here, is the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech composed this capital to be sung at the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. So what does this capital, though, have to do with the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash? So go back to number one now for just a moment. Let's take a quick look at this capital. Right? So let's look at the elements. Hashem, you went ahead and you raised me up. You have not allowed my enemies to rejoice. My enemies were unable to rejoice over me. Hashem, I called out to you in healing. So my enemies, they thought they would have the best of me, but you raised me up above my enemies. I was ill, and you nursed me back to life. Hashem, Elisa min Sha'ol Nafshi. You literally raised me up from the grave, from the depths. Chiyasan yardibar. And then he goes on. Va'ani amarti b'shavi ba'mot yalom. Hashem b'rtzon chamata lahariyos. He starts upon nechis. And then again, David HaMelech, Elech Hashem ekra, v'el Hashem eschanan. So the elements over here is I was sick, you healed me. Right? My enemies thought they were going to conquer me. They did not conquer me. Says the Radak. Do you know what's happening over here? David HaMelech only attains complete absolution when the Beis HaMikdash was built. Because when the Beis HaMikdash was built by Shlomo, who was the product of David and Bathsheba, that is when everyone saw in a clear and uncontestable fashion that David HaMelech was forgiven for the episode with Bathsheba. So says the Radak, David HaMelech says, Shlomo, when you build that Beis HaMikdash, I want you to say this kapitel. Mizmor Shir Chanukah HaSabayis LeDavid. I could finally sing. I could finally sing when that Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Oh, sorry, Chas V'Shalom. When that Beis HaMikdash is built. Why? Because my life was destroyed by my detractors. My life was destroyed. I suffered through illness. I suffered through adversity. I suffered through the worst of human behavior. And I struggled to find redemption in the eyes of people. But alas, it was not to be. But when you, Shlomo, build that mikdash, I will finally have the redemption that I so badly wanted. Now, where is the Ibn Ezra? Sorry, the Radak getting this from? Take a look at number five. I want to show you two incredible Gemaras. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin writes as follows. Vini kesemi pesherav. Amar lefan of Ribono shal mochali al osa avan kulam. David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, I want you to forgive me for the sin with Bathsheba. Remember, David HaMelech, I just want to point out, is the paradigmatic example of a Baal Tshuva. Because what does David HaMelech do when confronted with his misdeed? What does he do? What does he do? He acknowledges, accepts, and owns it. Right? Which is the most incredible thing. Most of us, when confronted with wrongdoing, generally tend to retreat, to backpedal, to explain. It's very hard to accept that I've done something wrong. It's very hard to accept that I've made wrong turns in life. David HaMelech, to his credit, is confronted by Nasan HaNavi, and there's no explanations, there's no but, there's nothing. All there is acceptance. And so David HaMelech turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, I want you to forgive me. I want you to forgive me for this sin. Amar, kvar osid Shlomo bin Chalomar b'chachmaso. So this is, listen to this exchange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, David, you're going to have a son, Shlomo. And your son, Shlomo, is going to write a book of wisdom called Mishlei. And in that book, your son, Shlomo, is going to write, Hayichate ish b'cheiko u'begadov lo tisrefenu, im yahalech ish al gicholim v'raglov lo techavenu, which literally means, if you take a coal and put it by your chest, do you not get burned? If you walk on coals barefoot, do your feet not get burned? So what the Kaddish Baruch Hu was telling David HaMelech is, I understand you want to be forgiven, but every action has a consequence. And every action has a reaction. Everything we do in life is a cause and effect. So you did something wrong. I appreciate that you're asking for forgiveness. But what about the impact? What about the effect? What about the reaction to your act? So what happens? So listen to David HaMelech's reaction to this. So David HaMelech says, must I suffer so much? David HaMelech, in this moment of incredible humanistic vulnerability, says, Ribono Shel Olam, I messed up. I understand that. I'm not trying to explain it away. I'm not even trying to sugarcoat. I messed up. But am I doomed? Am I doomed? Because remember, listen to this exchange. David's asking for forgiveness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, forgiveness. Every action has a consequence. Every action has a reaction. So the way when David hears that, he assumes that, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering? David asks for forgiveness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, every action has a reaction. David takes that divine response to mean what? To mean what? No forgiveness. So David says, really? Really? No forgiveness? No forgiveness? You know where you see this sometimes, this reaction? You see this sometimes by small children. When young children do something and they do something wrong, right? And they acknowledge that they've done something wrong, they'll often go over to a parent, Mommy, do you forgive me? Right, Daddy, do you? They feel the pain of having wronged someone and they feel the insecurity, am I really forgiven? David HaMelech says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry. I just want forgiveness. That's all I want. That's all I want. I want you to say, Salachti kidvarech. I want you to say you forgive me. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, well, every action has a consequence. So David says, really? That's it? This is the end of the road for me? Amar lo. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to David, Kibel alecha yisurin. Kibel alecha yisurin. Are you willing to accept suffering upon yourself? Are you willing to accept suffering as a way of ultimately purging yourself of this sin? Kibel alav. David says yes. David says yes. I accept it. Amar Yehuda Merav, Shisha chadashim nitzara David. David HaMelech was stricken with significant saras. We translate saras as leprosy, but it's not really leprosy. Saras is a physical manifestation of a spiritual ailment, of a spiritual malady. But it's a very serious illness. For 6 months, David HaMelech is stricken with saras. And because he was effectively a leper, the divine presence left him. Not only that, his fellow co-religionists, his fellow Talmidei Chachamim, the members of the Sanhedrin, everyone left David when he was stricken for 6 months. So the illness that we keep referring to, that we refer to in Kapitel Vav, and now we're referring to again in Kapitel Lamed, this illness was the illness which David HaMelech accepted upon himself. as a way of cleansing himself from the episode with Bathsheba. And it's incredible because it's something that David HaMelech was willingly makabel. If that's the price for forgiveness, if that's the price for atonement, then ultimately I accept it. Okay, look at number 6. The story then goes on. Different masechta, the same story. So David HaMelech says in chapter 86 in Tehillim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally, give me a sign. Give me a good sign and allow my enemies to see the sign and let them be embarrassed. What does this mean? Amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, mocho li al oso avon. It's the same exact conversation. Number 5 was the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin. David HaMelech says, forgive me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, every action has a reaction. Every action has a consequence. I don't know. David HaMelech says, please, I'll do anything. What do you want? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do you accept Yisroel? Do you accept suffering? David HaMelech says, yes, I accept suffering. Number 6 now, story continues. David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to forgive me for the episode of Bathsheba. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry. B'chol Yav Amar lo, Macholach. Watch this. Now the story's changed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Remember again, this is after the illness. You are forgiven, David HaMelech. Amar lo. So David HaMelech is not content with that. What does he ask for? Asei imi os bechayai. I need a sign. I need a sign of your divine forgiveness. Now, why does David HaMelech want a sign? Remember, he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's talking to the Ribono Shel Olam. So why does he need a sign? The sign's not for him. Who is the sign for? Who is the sign for? For everyone else. David HaMelech says, this conversation is not being recorded, God. It's just me and you. I appreciate the fact that you're telling me that I'm forgiven. But they all think I'm an adulterer. They all think I'm a sinner. They all think I've fallen out of favor with you. They all think I'm a nothing. And it's hard to walk around every single day with people who you respect and look up to thinking that you are a nothing. So can you do me a favor and give me a public sign so that not only I know that you've forgiven me, but everyone around me knows that you've forgiven me as well. Amar lo, listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. Bechayecha eni modia. I will not give you a sign during your lifetime, but bechaye Shlomo bincha ani modia. But I will give you a sign during your son Shlomo's lifetime. So the sign will come, not during your lifetime, but the sign will come during Shlomo's lifetime. Where did the sign come during Shlomo's lifetime? Listen to this story. Kishabana Shlomo's beis hamikdash. See, you have to understand, right? The creation, the building of the Beis HaMikdash was a massive, massive undertaking. Shlomo had to import workers, right, from out of the country. That's how much, I mean, it was incredible. So the Beis HaMikdash was a magnificent, beautiful structure. So the day for the inauguration of the first Beis HaMikdash had finally come. Shlomo is bringing the Ark, the Aron, into the Kodesh HaKadosh, into the Holy of Holies. One problem? Dovku sha'arim zebaze. The gates of the Beis HaMikdash would not open. The gates of the Beis HaMikdash would not open. Amar Shlomo Esrim va'arba renon asolonanu. Shlomo HaMelech said 24 kapitlach of his father's Tehillim. And the gates still did not open. V'lo nana. Kevan sha'amar. But Shlomo HaMelech said, Hashem Elokim, al toshev p'nei mishichecha, zochra, L'chasde David Avdecha. When Shlomo HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, open the gates in the merit of David, your servant. Miyad na'ane. The gates flew wide open. Tefillah after tefillah after tefillah, the gates don't move. Shlomo HaMelech says, do this in the merit of David, your servant, and the gates open. What happened in that moment? Ba'osa Shah. Nepchu pnei kol sonei David kishuli kidera. In that moment, all of David HaMelech's enemies and antagonists, right? Literally it means their face became like the bottom of a blackened pot, which means they turned ashen. They turned ashen because they realized they were wrong about David this entire time. They persecuted an innocent man. They maligned a Baal Tshuva. The Yadu Kala Am V'Chol Yisrael. Shemachalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Osavin. And in that moment, when the gates of the Mikdash flew open, only because Shlomo invoked the memory of his father, everyone finally knew that David HaMelech was truly forgiven by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says the Radak, this is the deeper meaning of this kapitel. And you begin to see something amazing. Because we've spoken about already a number of times how David HaMelech was yearning and pining to build the Beis HaMikdash. And so often we think, why was he yearning and pining to build the Beis HaMikdash? Again, because who doesn't want to build the Beis HaMikdash? But now you begin to understand on a deeper level why he was yearning for this. Because David HaMelech understood that the Beis HaMikdash represented absolution. The Beis HaMikdash represented for David HaMelech forgiveness. It was a tangible sign of God's forgiveness. David HaMelech walks around the whole life knowing that he's forgiven. How does he know that he's forgiven? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that he's forgiven. But no one else knows it. No one else knows it. Only he knows it. He yearns and he pines to build the Beis HaMikdash because if I could build the house of God, if I could build the domicile of God in this world, then at the end of the day, everyone will see that I'm forgiven. Again, forgiven doesn't mean I didn't do something wrong. Forgiven doesn't mean I didn't mess up. But forgiven means I messed up. I did something wrong. But I did tshuva. I got myself back on the rails. I got myself back together, which is the pinnacle, the crown jewel of human accomplishment. That's why David wants the Beis HaMikdash so badly. But then the Navi tells him, you're not building the Beis HaMikdash for a variety of different reasons. It's not going to be you. It's going to be Shlomo. It's going to be Shlomo. So at the end of the day, David HaMelech says to Shlomo, in such probably a moving exchange, my son, right, the product of me and Batsheva, which ultimately was a union that was blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, its origins were not good, but its culmination was good and blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says David HaMelech, Shlomo, when you build the Beis HaMikdash, you sing this song. Because the truth is, what I want so badly is to be able to sing the song of forgiveness. What I want so badly is to be able to hold my head high and not hear the murmurings that happen behind my back each and every time I walk down the streets. But that's not going to happen during my lifetime. But that forgiveness will be attained when I'm no longer in this world. I'll be looking down at your Chanukah Sabayis, but sing my song and at least my reputation will be restored. People will realize that I was a true Baal Tshuva. And they will realize ultimately again that I was forgiven by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what David HaMelech is teaching us in this kapitel is something so incredibly amazing. That forgiveness is always attainable. But sometimes it takes a little bit of time. And why is this important? You know, this happens in human relationships all the time. Two people have a falling out. Whatever it is, you could fill in the blanks with whatever kind of relationship it is. And let's say then the perpetrator, right, the person who committed the wrong, right? Because sometimes it does happen. Sometimes one person's right, one person's wrong. So let's say the person who perpetrated the wrong realizes what he or she did and they want to apologize. They want to apologize and they go and they apologize and it's a heartfelt apology. You know, not like one of those contrived, like, I'm sorry that I did something that hurt you. You know, not like that, which is like the non-apology, right? But a real, right, because really, like the parentheses of that is, you're so sensitive, so everything I do hurts you, but I really didn't do anything wrong. Right? Meaning, again, I did something wrong. I'm owning it. And then sometimes what happens? The aggrieved party listens, but yet what? Is not ready to re-engage. Is just not ready to re-engage. And often something amazing happens, which is then the perpetrator, who now became the apologizer, becomes the offended party, right? I apologized, belav shalem. It was a sincere apology, and it really was a sincere apology. And how can you not go ahead and accept such a sincere apology? And David HaMelech teaches us because fractured relationships take time to heal. Could it be that are there some people who when they're wronged and then they're apologized to immediately spring back? Sure, there are people like that, but they're few and far between. Most of us, when we're hurt, even if we receive a sincere apology, need a little bit of time to build back that trust. to once again engage with that person who hurt me. And if it's a close relationship, to make myself vulnerable to that person who hurt me. And who's modeling this for us? None other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David HaMelech. David HaMelech offers HaKadosh Baruch Hu a sincere apology. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, well, you know, every action has a consequence. Every action has a reaction. To which David says, is that it? Is this the end of the road? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially says, no. But it's just going to take some time. It's just going to take some time. So are you willing to suffer through the time? Are you willing to take the time to repair the relationship? Or do you want that instant gratification? Do you need that immediate fix? Because if you need the immediate fix, there's probably not a relationship to be had. And this is so incredibly important. Because sometimes people experience difficulties in a marriage. And then again, when both parties decide, let's work on this, let's get this back on the rails, things don't turn around on a dime. It takes time. Because where there's hurt, it takes time to regain trust. And you could fill in the blank with any of these relationships. And by the way, it's true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. But let's be clear. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, I do something wrong, I do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, beautiful, I love you, we're good. But every action has a reaction. There are consequences to what you have done. And you must recognize those particular consequences. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid tells us that it is possible, I believe this to be true, it is possible to repair every relationship if there is a desire on the part of both parties to repair that relationship. But repairing fractured relationships takes time. And this is a great challenge for us, because if there's one thing that we don't have in our generation, it's time and patience. We want everything, right? I want my relationships like my Amazon Prime, right? I want it here and I want it now, right? And I want everything fixed. And I assume that as soon as I utter that heartfelt apology, we're good, right? We're good. I want to tell you something. I've been involved in situations where literally I've seen an exchange like that of an apology and then a turning to a spouse. We're good, right? We're good. I often want to just reach over my desk and just give a smack, right? We're doing so well, and you just ruined it with that one foolish statement. No, we're not good. I'm not good, and I'm not even married to you, right? We're not good. Because the fact that you just said, are we good, means you don't understand what you did. And you don't understand what happened over here. And you don't understand that things take time to get back on the rails. And if it takes time for David HaMelech, do you know, often I feel very awkward speaking about David HaMelech in the context with Bathsheba, because we spend so much time focusing on this one event, which is for good reason, because for David HaMelech, this one event altered the trajectory of his life. But understand who we are talking about. This is David Malka Meshicha. This is David HaMelech, the king of the Messianic line. The king, the father of the Mashiach, one of our Tzaddikei Olam, one of our Ushpizim. This is David HaMelech. Yet again, when he has a falling out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it takes time. It takes time to repair relationships. And I'll show you something amazing. If you look in this week's parsha, and last week I was a little parsha heavy, Tehillim light, this week will be a little Tehillim heavy and parsha light. But if you take a look at number 7, there's such a moving exchange over here. Vayaratz Esav l'kras. Remember again, parashas Vayishlach. What happens in parashas Vayishlach? Yaakov Avinu comes home from living with Lavan for over 2 decades, and there's a lot of anxiety building up really before his reunion with Esav. So the Torah says something amazing. So Yaakov is preparing for everything. Rashi says he davens, he sends gifts, he splits the camp, he prepares for war. He's preparing for every single possibility, every eventuality. So what ultimately happens, right? It's incredible. What happens? Vayaratz Esav likraso. Esav runs to greet Yaakov. Vayichabkehu, he hugged him. Vayipo al tzavarav, he fell on his neck. Vayishakehu, he kissed him. Vayifku, and they wept. And the Medrash quotes a variety of different opinions. So what happened? But look at the Medrash number 8. Elamalamed, shenichmeru rachamav ba'osasha v'nashko b'chol libo. In that moment, all of the animosity, all of the hatred, all of the fighting, all disappeared. It all disappeared. And Esav ran to greet his brother. Esav hugged his brother, fell on his neck. and Yaakov and Esav cry together. They cry together. And the Ksav HaKabbalah number 9 explains, because Lashon Over Vayechabkehu is not just a hug. Vayechabekehu also is a hug. Vayechabkehu is an all-enveloping hug. An all-enveloping hug. Vayishakehu, you could say Vayishak also, we kissed him. Vayishakehu is a heartfelt kiss. Isn't this incredible? That, what did Yaakov Avinu want more than anything? I think this goes back to last week's share. What did Yaakov want more than anything? Just a normal, harmonious family life. He didn't want to be his mother's favorite. He didn't need Esav to be his father's favorite. He just wanted something normal. And the irony of ironies, the amazing part is, it took 20 plus years, but he ultimately gets it. You see, when people are eager to repair relationships, and people are willing to put in the work to repair relationships, the repair could occur. But you have to be willing to undergo the journey. You have to be willing to recognize that it's not going to be instantaneous. And the more profound the fracture, the more profound the hurt, the more time it is going to take to nurse that relationship back to health. It's amazing. Do Yaakov and Esav ultimately form a brotherly bond? They do. It lasts for about 7 minutes, right? But that's okay. But that's actually okay. Not every relationship has to be fantastic. It's good if your relationships are good also. They form a brotherly bond, and then they both go on to live their lives. But when they separate from love. When they separate from camaraderie. When they separate as brothers. And this is the lesson. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sarayis of David. David HaMelech knows there will be a sign of divine forgiveness. It'll happen. It'll happen. It just won't happen when? Won't happen when? During my lifetime. But I know it will happen. And that's okay. As long as I know it's going to come, I'm willing to wait. Because at the end of the day, if you believe enough in the relationship, you're willing to give it the time to nurse it back to health. And David HaMelech says, I believe enough in my relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and my relationship with Klal Yisrael, that I'll give it the time. Even though I won't be here in the world, when Shlomo HaMelech redeems my name, when my son Shlomo redeems my name, when the gates of Beis HaMikdash only open because you utter my name, I won't be here, but I'll look from above. And I'll know that my relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my relationship with Am Yisrael has been restored. And even though it has taken a little bit longer than I wanted, I'm willing to wait it out because the relationship is important enough to me. And what an incredible lesson for us. Because the truth is, we all have strained relationships. We all do. Everybody has some relationship that's not exactly as it should be. Some are worse, some are not worse. So sometimes we don't want to fix those relationships for a variety of different reasons. But if you have a strained relationship that you do want to fix, find the courage to engage, but also recognize that it takes time to nurse broken relationships back to health. It takes time for people to recover after they've been hurt. It takes time for people to make themselves vulnerable in a relationship where someone has taken advantage of that vulnerability. Is it possible? Absolutely. Absolutely. Does it take time? Unequivocally, yes. And that's what David HaMelech teaches us. And I'll just mention that, and with this I'll conclude, this is also why this kapitel is so unique to Hanukkah. Because next week we'll focus more on Hanukkah. But think about for a moment, what was the nes of Hanukkah? You know, the Gemara tells us a piece of information. We just had it in Maseches Yuma, and last Masechet in Daf Yomi. You know, everyone talks about the miracle of Hanukkah is that the Chashmonaim came back to the Beis HaMikdash, right? And they found one cruse of oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol intact. One ritually pure cruse of oil. And it lasted for 8 days. Incredible miracle, no question. What's interesting to note is the Gemara says, by the way, it wasn't just oil that was missing. There was something else that was missing. You know what else was missing? The menorah. There was no menorah. The menorah was made of solid gold. The Greeks did not leave that sitting inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So forget about oil. There was no menorah. So says the Gemara, what did the Chashmonaim do? So the Gemara says, when they got to the Beis HaMikdash, they fashioned a menorah out of their spears, out of pieces of metal, spears. The next year, they had a little bit more money in their coffers, they made it out of tin. The year after that, they had a little bit more money, they made it out of silver. And it was only a couple of years later that they were able to go ahead and make it out of gold. And in fact, the Lashon of the Gemara says that after the miracle of Hanukkah, where the jug of oil remained lit for 8 days, L'shana acheres, in a subsequent year, Hanukkah was not declared as a Yom Tov in the immediate aftermath of the miracle of the Pach Shemen. It was only a number of years later that the rabbis decided to institute Hanukkah as a Yom Tov. And what an incredible metaphor. First year, you start with metal, then you go to tin, then silver, then gold. It takes time to kindle light. It takes time to create relationship. It takes time to create spiritual luminescence. You know, it's interesting that today, it's fascinating. You know, every generation has its challenge. There's always a generational, from a Jewish perspective, right? So maybe two generations ago, I think about my grandparents' generation. So the challenge was Shabbos. Can you hold down a job and really keep Shabbos? I think in my parents' generation, often the challenge was, you know, let's say for wearing a yarmulke on the workplace, right? Being an externally frum Jew in the outside world. So it's interesting because if you look at the challenge of our generation, so people often people often state that they're not inspired. They're not inspired. There's a lack of inspiration. So I want to tell you a little secret. Who says you're supposed to be inspired? You see, when people say they're not inspired, what that really means is I expect to feel a certain way quickly, right? I expect to come to a shir and mamish, my neshama should be dancing with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Moshe Rabbeinu and Sari Menu, separately, of course, right? Right? That should be happening. And davening, I go to shul and mamish, I should feel like I am in Gan Eden, like literally, like my body is pulling my soul, keeping my soul here in the world because my neshama is so on fire. That is a form of spiritual laziness. What that means is, I want to feel everything, but I don't want to do the work. Inspiration comes on the heels of sustained activity. Inspiration doesn't just come like that. And by the way, inspiration that does just come, if it comes quickly, it leaves just as quickly. Anything that's meaningful in life, it takes time. Is going to be part of a journey. Fractured relationships take time to repair. To kindle a menorah, a light of spirituality that is going to last, takes time. To become an inspired individual takes time. To find your bashert takes time. Totally different discussion for a different time. Right? But again, I just want to point out, I'll just mention this now, even the notion, this is not a shidduch discussion, but even the notion, I feel so terrible. I'm so happy that I'm old already and that I did not have to grow up in this shidduch climate. But this notion that young men and women think that after going out 3, 4, 5 times, you should know. Know what? Maybe the person's first name, their last name, you know, what they like to eat, if they have any serious allergies, right? No, you should know. You should know. That comes from the same level of spiritual laziness. That's an unwillingness to give things time. Now, again, when I say time, I don't mean months and years, but however long it takes, whatever amount of time it takes for a person to know. From where do we come up with this idea that anything in life that's meaningful is supposed to occur quickly? Sometimes things do occur quickly, but more often than not, the more meaningful the endeavor, the more time it is going to take. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis the David. Forgiveness takes time. Nursing fractured relationships back to health takes time. The Chashron teaches us on Hanukkah, kindling a light that is going to endure. Kindling the spirituality takes time. And the truth is, you could globalize this, and with this I'll really conclude. Anything you want to accomplish in life takes time. You know, so often in life we start on things. We start on different projects. Right? If you're like me, most of us have that closet. I call it the closet of half-started life initiatives, right? I open it up and it's like all the things I started on, and some of them got to 20%, 30%, 50%, a number of them even to like 80, 90%. And what happens? Sometimes we think that if something is meant to be, it should just fall into place. The pieces should fall into place. And the truth is, it's such a destructive mindset because often things don't fall into place. Things take time. things take effort. If you have the staying power, they often fall into place. But everything that's meaningful in life takes time. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. And now we understand the tie into Chanukah as well. We'll talk about this more next week. But what's the essence of Chanukah? The essence of Chanukah is rededication of the personalistic temple. Chanukah is the Yom Tov where the Chashmonaim rededicated a defiled Beis HaMikdash. And so often in life, my personal Beis HaMikdash is defiled. So often in life, I've just brought in the wrong things into my life and just have made so many negative turns. But it's okay, because no matter how much I've defiled my personal Beis HaMikdash, I have the ability to clean it up, and I have the ability to clean it out, and I have the ability to rededicate it. But recognize, the rededication takes time. It took the Chashmonaim a couple of years until they were able to get a normal menorah lighted. It takes us, whatever amount of time it is, to accomplish our personalistic goals of rededication as well. So we should find the chizuk of David HaMelech. And whatever it is that we're working on, whether it's fixing a life relationship, whether it's kindling our spiritual light, whether it's rededicating our personalistic Beis HaMikdash, whether it's starting out our new life initiatives, or whether it's looking for our Bashert, recognize that the more meaningful the endeavor, the more time you have to give it to be successful. We'll stop over here for tonight. Meretz Hashem, will continue next week with Kapit Olamit. Just a reminder again, if you want to join the WhatsApp group for the Shir, QR code on the front. Also, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m., we are having our monthly Shir. This is a monthly women's Shir on Tefillah, Halacha, and Hashkafa. That is tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Have a good evening.